Just wanted to give you a little update about Rachel and I. Maybe some of you know we're preparing to go overseas to Japan as missionaries, and we're coming up on an interview in just a week from tomorrow. We're going to have our level two interview. We're going to be flying out to Colorado Springs for that. Maybe you remember the process that Steve and Elizabeth Williams are going through, who are going to be commissioned next week. Rach and I are just kind of in the middle of that right now. So thanks so much for your support for us as a family. And we're just really thankful for the place that God's put us and really would covet your prayers for next week. So if everything goes well, hopefully they'll come back with a good report. And the plan is for next summer for us to be launching out to the mission field. So anyways, just want to let you guys know about that coming up. I'm going to make a judgment about myself and say that I'm a really terrible farmer. And that's probably because, you can look at this picture, I can be a really lousy gardener. That's not actually my garden, but the first year I was doing community garden here, that's what it looked like, you know. And sometimes I just feel half my garden is weeds. You know, if my family depended on me for food, we'd probably be like just completely skinny, you know, or probably coming to your house every day for dinner, you know, whichever. You know, farming is that process that really takes time. You know, not only does it take time, it takes energy and intention and effort. Wish that we could just plant that seed and then come back the very next day and see that ripe tomato plant ready to be picked. You know, we see weeds growing through the cracks in our sidewalk and, you know, driveway. It's so easy, but, you know, why can't we make a garden grow that easy? It takes time and energy and effort. Well, God's kingdom that we've been singing about today is often compared to a field or a farm. God's kingdom grows as people grow in their knowledge and salvation of Jesus Christ. As disciples are made, God's kingdom grows. But the reality is, maybe you've seen, that's a picture of a farm in Wisconsin, actually. The reality is, though, that we aren't seeing as many people come to know the Lord as maybe we used to. Maybe we think about the good old days, 60s, 70s, 80s, when the fields were just ripe for harvest. It's not always easy to diagnose the why we aren't seeing as many people come to know Christ. But I believe it's time to take a look at our approach of how are we building God's kingdom? How are we as a church corporately and also individually, how are we making disciples? So with that said, we're going to dive into a scripture that we're going to be referencing today and kind of use as our foundation of farming, of making disciples. And some questions I want us to be thinking about and that I want to be answered is today is how do I grow God's kingdom? How do I do that? What's the biblical basis of doing it? You know, if it's just me coming up here and saying, you should do this, you should do that, you know, a guilt or obligation, we're not really going to take it to heart. But we want to see what does Scripture give us? What does God ask us to do? So we're going to be looking at today at 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 5 to 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Verses 5 to 15, written by the Apostle Paul, who planted many churches around the Roman Empire. You can follow along in your Bibles, or you can look up on the screen. And I don't have a Bible with me, so I can't tell you the page number, but some page number in your Bible on the chair, or you can follow along with me on the screen. What was that? 794. Thanks. Thanks, Jim. 1 Corinthians 3, 5 to 15. Paul writes, "What, after all, is Apollos? And what is Paul? Only servants through whom you came to believe, as the Lord has assigned to each his task. I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God has been making it grow. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. The one who plants and the one who waters have one purpose. They will each be rewarded according to their own labor. By the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as a wise builder, and someone else is building on it. But each one should build with care, for no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. If anyone builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, food, hay, or straw, their work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each person's work. If what has been built survives, the builder will receive a reward. If it is burned up, the builder will suffer loss, but yet will be saved, even though only as one escaping through the flames." The word of the Lord. Well, we can see through this text here that it's a really big deal to God building God's kingdom, planting those seeds, seeing his kingdom grow. The question is, will what we're doing stand the test of the fire? God says that we will escape even as only the flames. But will our purpose and our goals be aligned with God and prove true to the end? So today we're looking at the art of farming. That's why I kind of introduced with that art, the garden, my terrible garden in the beginning. I hope I don't offend any legit farmers who are here today. But perhaps you view art farming as more of a science. But the problem is that we viewed evangelism or witnessing as more of a science methodology than an art. Maybe we've had this thing in our mind, if we can teach them the Romans road, we're going to lead them to Christ. Or if we witness them at least 5 times, they're going to make a decision for Jesus Christ. Or if we can just get them in the doors of the church, then they'll be saved for eternity. The reality is, though, there isn't just one methodology for seeing people become a disciple or to see God's kingdom grow. That's why we must look at witnessing and evangelism as developing our art of reaching people. Each person is different and unique. And that's the way that we will reach them, and their hearts will be unique. So we must have a strategy, though, a corporate strategy as well as an individual strategy for how we're going to reach people around us for Jesus Christ. So here's our corporate strategy that we want to continue to introduce and use as our goal and method, our goals of reaching people. And this is cultivating, planting, and reaping. Cultivating, planting, and reaping. Cultivating the soil, you can see, follow along in your bulletin. Planting the seed, and reaping the harvest. Spiritual CPR. That's a term that I think Gary coined or has been using in our staff. But why does it matter? We could talk about this until we're blue in the face. People's eternity matters to God. People's eternity matters to God. And so, people's eternity should matter to our hearts as well. That's our foundation that we want to lay as we look at this passage and this strategy. So we're only going to really scratch the surface here with talking about spiritual CPR, but I pray that this starts a conversation with your own mind or with your family or your friends. I'm striving to live this out in my own life because I want people's eternity to matter to me. So let's take a look at number one, cultivating the soil. Number one, cultivating the soil. In the first few verses before we began reading in verse 5, you notice that we started from verse 5, Paul is setting this tension in the church concerning the ministries of Paul and Apollos. That's why he kind of brings that up. Who is Paul? Who is Apollos? You see, Paul had come and planted the church, but Apollos had come in later and helped the church to really grow and continue to flourish. Both these men had valid and effective ministries, but the church was kind of arguing over who was greater, who had more influence, who was a better preacher. Translate that to 2018. We can maybe get stuck on the past of, oh, this former pastor was a really great teaching pastor, or this man was such a visionary leader, or this man has such a good counseling ministry. And we can kind of pick and choose, man, we really like this ministry a lot. But the reality is, thinking about that past keeps us from being effective in the present and looking forward to the future. God's mission isn't about just building a building or a pastor's ministry. It's about building his kingdom and disciples. So when we look at in this day and age, we're up against a worldview that is not biblical. What do I mean by that? A majority of the American population today doesn't recognize God's character, God's holiness, and that God expects us to reflect that in our lives as well, God's holiness. So we as humans then miss the mark of what God's looking for is holiness. And so that sin removes us from being right with God. And people who is removed from a right relationship with God has an eternal destiny apart from God in hell. Unfortunately, also, many people view Christians as maybe hypocritical or judgmental or exclusive. Maybe you've come across that in your own conversations. So before we go any further, we have to come to an understanding that most people in our culture are not prepared to make a decision to follow Christ without a significant relational connection with a Jesus follower or more Bible knowledge. So in farming terms, we call that hard soil, right? We're coming against very hard soil in our society and our culture today. Jesus, though, he was a wonderful example of a man who really took time to cultivate the soil. and the people who was around him. He spent time, we see, with people who were very far from God, people who were considered sinners. You know, Jesus was even considered a friend of sinners. Did you know that? Oh my goodness. Jesus was a friend of sinners. He hung out with the people whom society looked down on. Tax collectors were some of the most scum of the day. He hung out with prostitutes, people who were given to wine or other alcohol. One of these sinners that Jesus hung out with a lot eventually wrote a book of the Bible, Matthew, the Gospel according to Matthew, the very first book in the New Testament. Someone who religious people didn't like and didn't accept in their gathering place of worship. When I take a look at my life, do people consider me as a friend of sinners? Or just a good church-going boy? You know? I really had to think about that as I was thinking about this. Am I playing a part in other people's hearts becoming soft and cultivated as Jesus did in the time that he invested in people who weren't close to God? You know, it's way easier to hang out with church friends, right? Or have them over to dinner, have coffee with them. It's a lot easier to bless them with a dinner, you know, after they give birth, or a present during Christmas. But if we really look at the time Jesus invested in spending time with people who are far from God, we have to evaluate our own life. Where is our time, our energy, our money being invested? Is it about cultivating the hard soil that we see in our culture and society today? Not only Jesus, but when we look at the ministry of Paul, who wrote this letter to the Corinthians, who was a famous missionary and apostle, he practiced what he preached. He went to places and he spent time building relationships with people in places of worship or places of prayer. He spent time just in the city streets and the markets looking for people to connect with so that he could connect them with their creator, with God. You see, cultivating the soil of a friend, family member, neighbor, coworker is kind of a lot like dating. Okay, just take an example of dating. I'm not an expert at this, but I have one success story, okay, and my wife. So let's just take this as a practical. You know, when I began being interested in Rachel the summer before our junior year, I didn't just, you know, as soon as I saw her that fall, I didn't just ask her to marry me right away, right? Or I didn't wait even until I knew Rachel was interested in me. I was like, okay, let's get married right now. I took time and cultivating the relationship with her. And yeah, that's like a month after we started dating, I already taught her how to roll sushi. I was like, honey, this is the way to my heart, okay? Let's do this. So after we got engaged, we even spent some 8 months after that getting to know each other. Obviously, you plan for the wedding. You go through premarital counseling. You know, not everyone follows that timeline. Maybe some people take longer. Some people take shorter. But the point is, it takes time to learn about your potential spouse, their interests, what they value, what they love. And before we make a commitment to spend the rest of our life with them, we kind of want to woo their heart over, don't we? We want their hearts to be ours. We want our hearts to be theirs. And it's not a cookie-cutter system. We can't, you know, the way I would treat Rachel isn't the way maybe some of you would date your wife or your spouse. It's an art of wooing our lover's heart before we ask them to give it away to us. And you see, cultivating the soil, cultivating people's hearts, is all about winning influence in their life. It's about wooing people's hearts, not to us, though, but to the one who made their hearts, to God. Are we, as a church, are you winning influence with people who are far from God? Are we making Jesus attractive to other people? By our actions, by our words, by the way that we serve, by our generosity, by our holiness, by our pursuit of excellence in what we do. You see, so we talked about having a corporate strategy and an individual strategy. Our corporate strategy, we want to offer opportunities like our carnival night, our pool night, ways that we can invite neighbors to and say, hey, this is what we're about. We love Jesus and we love you. We even have one opportunity coming up this week, our last family night on Wednesday at City Park. Just a plain old brat fry. Who in Wisconsin does not like that, right? Why not invite a neighbor to have dinner on Wednesday night at the City Park with us? You see, events like these give individuals and families an excuse to invite unchurched people to a non-threatening environment. These things help us to win influence in people's lives as we spend time with them. cultivating projects like the Thanksgiving dinner boxes we do, or the Christmas hams, serving at Parkview. These things cultivate hearts of people who are far from God so that we can win influence with them. But cultivating the soil, especially hard soil, like we see in our 21st century culture today, can take a really long time. Sometimes we have this mentality that, okay, we'll wait for our next move and then we'll start winning people who are next to us. Or we'll wait till our schedule frees up a little bit more. Or we'll wait until our kids are in school or until our kids are out of school. God understands that there are seasons in life where we have more time or less time. He gets that. He knows. However, God has placed you in your home for a reason with people around you. Even if you live on, you know, County Road A, way far away, it might be far away, there's somebody next who lives next door to you. God has placed you in a cubicle or in a classroom or in a mom's group. Jesus certainly didn't view people that he saw just as a coincidence, but as opportunities, opportunities of cultivation for that hard hearts. Every one of us has those fields around us, fields maybe that are thriving because they're following Jesus passionately, or maybe these fields that are dead, spiritually dead. Who will cultivate those fields around you unless it's you, unless God has placed that on your heart? You have a card on your chair, and it's labeled Spiritual CPR. I want you to take that in your hand right now. And I kind of wanted to give some time during the sermon to really apply it right away, right now. You see on the back of that card a place that says cultivating and planting and reap. Cultivate, plant, and reap. And I want you to actually take this now and take a pen, and we're going to do like immediate application, okay, during the sermon. Not like let's go home and think about it. I want us to think about it right now, okay? I know maybe it's a little bit hard, and maybe you're like, whoa, what am I doing? Just bear with me. Take out your card and take out your pen, and I want you to think about someone, a field, someone next to you, someone in your community, someone in your network, someone who you kind of have a little bit of influence in, that God can use you to begin cultivating that soil. More than just a acquaintance, but someone who you can actually get to know and understand, where is their heart at? You know, are they close with God or are they far from God? And I want you to think about not five people, okay, or 10 people, but let's start small. Let's start with one or two. And I really would like everyone, even first grader to 12th grader, 1 to 99, to really take this whole, God's mission isn't just for adults. God's mission of making disciples is for children and young people as well. Who is someone in your life that God could use you to cultivate that hard soil? Someone who is far from God. And I want you to write those two names in those lines, one or two names. You know, next time you're considering who to have over for dinner, instead of considering someone from your family of friends from here, why not consider someone on your list? Someone who might be far from God. You know, next time you're making cookies, why not bake an extra little bit, and after you stop by my house, walk over to their house, you know? Give you an excuse to get into their lives, you know? God came into this world and he invaded. You know, he didn't wait for people to come to him. He went to them. So who in your life, who is those name that God wants you to write down to begin cultivating that hard heart with the gospel? Church, if we're faithful to give ourselves to the mission and people, God is ultimately the one who's going to cultivate the heart, right? God uses us, but it's God is the one who shapes and forms the heart. But he uses obedient disciples, obedient people to do that. So as we look at this art of farming, the first step is to first cultivate the soil, to build that relationship, to help that ground become soft so that we can move on to number two, planting the seed. Number two, planting the seed. So in our text that we read, Paul says that he planted the seed and Apollos watered it, but God has been making it grow. So God uses both the ministry of Paul and Apollos to plant seeds of what? Of the gospel. In this famous story that Jesus gave, maybe you've heard of it, Jesus tells a story about a farmer going out and planting seeds in four different terrains. Those seeds that are being thrown and scattered in different places are seeds of the gospel. Okay? The gospel that God wants humans, humanity, to be right with him again. And what's the means by doing that? Jesus Christ. We do this by bringing up our faith in conversations, by declaring verbal proclamation about who Jesus is. You see, one way that Jesus did planting seeds was through asking questions. Through asking questions, Jesus was able to expose the condition of the hearts of his listeners. He was able to see, what are their hurts? Where are they broken? Where do they need hope applied to their life? Jesus used stories and questions to plant these seeds of the gospel in the hearts of his listeners. And he always applied the gospel. He always helped people take one step closer to God. He didn't expect them, okay, I'm going to preach the gospel and expect them to fully commit their life. Sometimes he did that, but sometimes he just wanted them to take one small step of obedience, one small step towards giving their entire life and their heart to Jesus Christ. A good book on evangelism called Honest Evangelism calls evangelism gospel chatting, or planting seeds gospel chatting. Planting seeds isn't always about making this formal gospel presentation like the Romans Road we've talked about, you know, using different verses in Romans. But it's about bringing up our faith naturally in conversation. You know, if Jesus is a big deal to us and a big deal to our hearts, it's going to kind of overflow. You know, you probably hear that I talk about food a lot, right? I probably always use food in sermons. I'm so sorry about that. But it's because food's a really big deal to me, so I often talk about it. But I want Jesus to be a really big deal about it, that I'm just always naturally bringing it up in a conversation. That's what gospel chatting and planting seeds is about. But here's the beauty of planting seeds. We don't need to wait until, like, we've been cultivating the soil for a year, you know, before we do that. Sometimes we do, you know. Sometimes we know as people are really kind of, don't talk to me about God, you know. But we can start planting seeds as soon as we're cultivating the soil, too. And not only waiting to bring up that we're Christian, but bringing it up right away. But we need to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. How is he leading us? You know, how is he helping us to discern and have wisdom about the hearts of the people who are around us? So here's a little illustration about that. How many people watched the Super Bowl this past year? Many people? Me too. And guess what I went to the Super Bowl party for is the food. But how many people enjoyed watching the ads play during the Super Bowl? Sometimes the ads are kind of silly, sometimes they're fun. But were you aware that the companies who played an ad during the Super Bowl forked out over $5 million for just a 30-second ad? $5 million for a 30-second ad. It was a big deal for viewers to see their product. Some companies even forked out money for two, even three ads during the commercial. Some of the ads were humorous, some intended to really strike a chord in the emotional heart of somebody. But why package commercials differently? You know? Why even write an ad multiple times? Because good marketing, they understand that you can't just expect someone to hear it once and be done with it and buy the product, right? Often when I'm working on my computer, I have Spotify open. Okay? Spotify is a music player and you can listen to a lot of music. But I don't have the premium version, so I'm always hearing these ads that come up too. It's lately, I feel like I've been hearing a lot of ads about buying a new Lexus, okay? A new Lexus. Well, suppose, you know, I've been hearing this ad about a Lexus a lot on Spotify, and then I'm driving on I-41 going to Appleton, and I see this sign on the billboard about Lexus. I'm like, oh, you know, that looks really nice, like a nice visual now. And then later that day, you know, one of those 15-second videos on YouTube that you can't skip, like they make you watch. Well, it's about like this really good seasonal deal that Lexus is having. So what might I do after, you know, all these different avenues and methods and ways that I've heard Lexus? I mean, what might I do? I might go out and just buy myself a Lexus right there, dream car. You see, commercials are effective for businesses to get customers to purchase a product. They understand marketing. They understand we don't just say it once. We don't just say it this way. We say it different ways to get a customer on board. But, you know, as followers of Jesus, we're here on this earth to represent someone much greater, much more satisfying than any product could ever hope. I mean, I would love to have a Lexus. But are we taking our mission of representing Jesus seriously? Does he overflow naturally in our conversations because he means that much to us? I have to be honest as I consider myself. Am I more effective in my place of employment or doing my job description than I am at the kingdom of God and representing Jesus, my Lord and my Savior? We can't hang up the towel because we are not seeing success in cultivating or planting and people aren't responding. Jesus preached the gospel, you must understand, over the course of 3 years. 3 years. Even his own disciples, who he spent day in and day out with, even sometimes they were on the line with, do I really want to follow this Jesus? But Jesus was faithful to cultivate. Jesus was faithful to plant so that he could see the harvest for God's kingdom. Here are some ways that we want to plant seeds as a church. Events that Outdoor Family Ministry hosts often share a brief devotional. We have one coming up on August 25, Lake Day. I encourage you guys to bring a friend to that. We have Bring a Friend Sundays throughout the year. Bring a Friend, where we really encourage that day we're going to make this church welcoming. And we always want to be a welcoming church. We always want the hope of the gospel to be applied. But that day in particular, we want to welcome in your friends, your unchurched friends that you're bringing. We have a chance this September. We're doing another Sumpta Pastor, where your friends can hear different questions of faith in the Bible asked and the hope of Jesus shared. But how do we plant seeds of the gospel on a personal level? Casually, I like to bring up what's going on in my life to those around me, those who I know are spiritual seekers. It lets them know that I'm not perfect, you know, that good and bad things happen to me, but that how I respond is that I know God still loves me. God's still good, and he's in control. Yeah, it stinks when bad things happen to you, but I know someone much greater who offers so much more. I used what I learned in a sermon recently as a springboard to talk with somebody around me. Hey, I was hearing this on Sunday, or I preached about this recently. Three things that we want to remember as we communicate the gospel and plant the seeds is Jesus' identity, his mission, and his call. Jesus' identity as the Son of God, that he's exclusive. Salvation is only found through him, Jesus' identity. Jesus' mission, that he came here not to just live a moral life and show us how to live a moral life. He came to earth to reconcile all of humanity to God. And his call, come and die. Come and follow me. Jesus' identity, his mission and call. And like I said, we don't need to bring that up all those three things each time, but are we talking about who Jesus is? Are we talking about the purpose of why Jesus came? And are we talking about what Jesus asks of us? A few months ago, Heather Mertzberger shared her testimony about how she's winning influence in her school. And Heather, she talked about how she uses her natural platforms of her students' teachers, that she drops her kids off and she talks to them. She talks to people next to her when she's watching a game. And to the point where this summer she was able to start a woman's Bible study with spiritual seekers, with those people who she was cultivating that soil and establishing relationships with. She didn't go there in one day. It took her 3 years, she says, until she got to the point where she could ask people, would you like to study God's word with me? And she got people who said yes. So I want you to take out that card again, that spiritual CPR. Spiritual CPR, and take that pen. Perhaps you have people that you know in your life that you've already invested time getting to know. And maybe you know that, yep, they're not right with God. They're far from God. And now it's time to begin planting those seeds of the gospel, bringing up our faith in conversation. Maybe it's somebody you're already doing with, but you can use that as an opportunity to be praying for them. So I want you to think about those one or two people in your life, to take that art of farming, that farming life, to the next level as planting. Spiritual CPR starts with cultivating the soil, planting the seeds, and then we move on to reaping the harvest. Cultivating, planting, and reaping. Once we faithfully spend time cultivating the soil and planting the seeds, we actively look then for a response to the gospel. This often, though, involves waiting on God. You see, in verse 7 and 8, Paul writes, "Neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. The one who plants and the one who waters have one purpose. They will each be rewarded according to their own labor." And in one occasion that Paul had when he was witnessing to some woman near the river, he was preaching the gospel, he was planting seeds, and then we see that the Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message. So who was it that opened her heart? It wasn't Paul. The Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message. So we must faithfully cultivate the soil and plant the seeds, and when God opens hearts to respond, we reap the harvest of faith. It doesn't happen when just someone says, oh yeah, I believe in God too. Or, oh yeah, I agree, that's Jesus is a good person. It agrees when that you reap the harvest when there's a complete heart alignment with the identity, the mission, and the call of Jesus. When they accept him as the Lord and Savior and become a child of God. That's when we reap the harvest. Not just getting many, many people to know about God, but to truly know God on a deep and personal level. All cultivating and planting that we do in those people around us must have our ultimate goal as we want to reap a harvest someday. We want to reap a harvest. Even though it may take a long time, it may take years. I've been witnessing to my neighbor for 3 years, and I've yet to see him make a commitment to follow Christ. But I don't want to give up. I told Rachel, I feel like we can't go overseas until I see this person come to know the Lord. I know that's probably selfish, and I have to let go of that and say, hey, I did my work in cultivating and planting, and I pray that the next person, if he doesn't come to Christ before we leave, the next person will come and be able to reap the harvest for me. But if there's one story I'd like to share with you that really epitomizes this passage well, it's a story of my lunch buddy, Mitchell. Mitchell was assigned to be my lunch buddy in February of 2015, the first month I started working here at this church when we moved here. That summer, actually at the OFM, Outdoor Family Ministry Lake Day, I found out that he was related to Todd and Tammy Matzdorf, members of this church. And then that same fall, he started coming to our Wednesday night Rooted program, kids program here. We eventually became Lunch Buddies Plus so I could meet him outside of school, and he came to our Rebecca Freelander pottery outreach that we had that Sunday where the gospel was presented. Well, later that month, at the hands of his Rooted teachers, Vern Wiedemeyer and Tanya Rodriguez, Mitchell dedicated his life to the Lord Jesus Christ. And last year, he was baptized. It was so exciting to see that fruit. But, you know, I wasn't even that person who led him to Christ. But God used me to cultivate and plant. He used his great aunt and uncle, Todd and Tammy. He used that gospel presentation by Rebecca. And ultimately, he used those Rooted teachers to bring this soul to reconciliation with Jesus Christ. That's what Paul's saying. Our efforts matter, but ultimately, it's God who's going to bring us the harvest. You see, your role in somebody's life might just be to cultivate their hearts and to plant the seeds. And then you move on, or they move on. And we entrust their hearts to God, who wants them to be reconciled to himself. You might be planting seeds up year after year and not see any fruit and grow weary. But God sees what you're investing your life in. God sees what you're building your life on. And you will be rewarded for your time and energy that you invest in spiritual CPR, Jesus says. A book I referenced earlier, Honest Evangelism, the author, Rico Tice, said it well. Our job is not to convert people. Our job is not to convert people. It is to witness to Christ. You have not failed if you explain the gospel and are rejected. You have failed if you don't try. I feel like that takes off the pressure of us to see these people being won for Christ. That, oh man, I shared the gospel and they didn't accept Christ. I'm a failure. No. God has given us the mission of planting, of cultivating, that one day they may be reaped for the harvest. That may be you, that may be somebody else. But we can entrust the Holy Spirit for the fruit if we are faithfully giving our lives to this mission. As a church, then, we have these reaping occasions like our baptism service or our Easter or Christmas services where the gospel is publicly declared and decisions and commitments are called for by people. Remember, we don't want to just meet someone and invite them to church right away. Sometimes if we sense that they're there spiritually, it can work. But until we've really taken the time to get to know where they are relationally and where they are with God, it takes time to cultivate that soil first. But maybe you have somebody in your life who is ready for that clear gospel presentation. You've spent that time. Now you say, hey, this is what Jesus is. This is what he's after. Will you follow him with your heart? So take out your card again. Take out that spiritual CPR card. I filled mine out earlier because I knew I couldn't do it right now. I would forget a pen. I thought about those people in my life who God is asking me to continue to cultivate, continue to plant, and continue to reap. And if you don't have someone maybe who you have on that reap, don't sweat it. But use that as an opportunity to see who in my life can I maybe move from that planting to the reaping. You know, who might be ready in the next few months or in 2019 that I really want to be able to bring them to a service like Easter, you know, or Christmas, or personally share the gospel. This is how we get right with God. Have you written it down? A lot was said today. We talked about a lot of different things. I want to boil it down again. We cultivate the soil by investing time and energy into those relationships around us, those fields that are around us, seeking those people out who may be spiritually dead. They're not right with God. Those are the ones whom God is asking to cultivate. Those people are most effective when they're right next door to you. Don't drive 20 minutes to find someone to win a stew. Start by walking next door. Next, we move on to planting the seeds, gospel chatting, bringing up our faith, bringing up the hope that we have. Are we making Jesus attractive to where they ask us, who are you? Why are you so happy all the time? Why are you so chill? Why do you have this peace? Are we giving people an opportunity to ask us? And last, we reap the harvest. We always want our goal for cultivating relationships and planting seeds to be about bringing them into the kingdom of God. Even though we develop this fine art of evangelism that God can use, if we're not first spending time in God's presence, none of this really matters. If we're not asking the Holy Spirit to fill us and use us, then we're going to be doing it on our own strength, and it won't work. We must first, if we want to really communicate the heart of God, then we must first have the heart of God ourselves and have that love of Jesus overflow in our lives. I can't emphasize enough the importance of prayer in this whole art of farming, in the spiritual CPR. God will use us as we faithfully give our lives to the mission. So is what you're doing, is it investing in someone's eternity? Is what you're laying your foundation on, is it a building that will stand the test of fire that we read about in this passage? May we as a church give our lives, both corporately and individually, to something that will last beyond just our 80, 70, 90 years in this life, but investing into somebody else's eternity. Amen? Let's pray together. Jesus, thank you that you took initiative to come down to this earth from heaven, from all the glory and splendor that you had with your Father, to come and to show us the way to God. Jesus, and we know and we believe that the way to God is only through you. We can only be right with God. We can only find true hope and purpose as our souls are reconciled with this one Almighty God. God, I pray that you would continue to well within us a love and a desire for you. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would fill us each and every day. God, may our hearts and our lives be about seeking and saving the lost, as that was your mission, Jesus. I pray that we would take on that mission as ourselves. Lord, wherever you have placed us, I pray that we would use our influence to win influence for you, Jesus Christ. God, I pray that the harvest would come to this place, to Plymouth, to Sheboygan County, to Wisconsin. God, would you help us to not grow weary in doing good, in cultivating the soil, in planting the seed. God, we believe that one day we will reap a harvest for our efforts together. Lord, but we entrust that work to you. I pray that we would be faithful and obedient to do your work. We love you, Jesus. Thank you for being the way to God. In your name we pray. Amen.